All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13, 0, 306 plus 360, factoring the number of the beast. If you would, turn with me to Revelation 15, verse 2, and we're going to start out by reading this verse, because it is so important. It's why we are doing this series on counting the number of the beast. And it reads, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the," what? "The number of his name, stand on a sea of glass, having the harps of God." These are the overcomers, my friends. And there were different things that they had to do to achieve victory over the beast. They had to overcome his image, his mark, and the number of his name. Well, how do we overcome the number of his name? Well, first of all, you have to understand your enemy. You have to understand what his name is in order to be able to overcome it, right? That makes sense. So we have to understand this number. And we can do so by starting out our quest at Revelation 13, verse 18. And we're going to read this verse again. "Here is wisdom." Now listen up. Whenever God says something like that, whenever he says something like, "Hey, whoever has eyes to see and ears to hear, let him hear." Or when he says something this profound, as he's telling us that this is something that entails a great deal of wisdom, then we better pay attention. Check this out. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding," that's someone who is learned in the Bible. This isn't necessarily going to come to the beginning Christian, to someone who is just saved, or to a Christian who never cracks their Bible open, to a lazy Christian. God expects his servants to labor in his word, because his word is life. He expects his servants to have a certain degree of intelligence and not just run merely on blind faith. Faith is important. It's one of the most important aspects of Christianity. But it needs to be mingled with knowledge. So listen up. God says here, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count," or calculate, "the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, he gave us the ultimate answer, if you would. One side of the equation. But it doesn't stop there. We are supposed to factor it out. That's what that word count means. It means to calculate, to break down the numbers. Because that's what takes a great deal of wisdom and understanding. We don't just stop and say, "Oh, well, he gave us the answer." No, no, not so, my friend. That's not the answer. It's a part of the equation. And so what does this mean? Well, I mean, does this mean that Christians are supposed to be able to do math? Well, it might sound strange at first, but yes, God does expect his servants to perform biblical mathematics, biblical numerology. In fact, he uses biblical numerology all throughout his word to communicate to us certain principles, certain truths I've used a simple example all along. The book of Revelation has the number 7 running all throughout it. You got 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials, 7 thunders, 7 angels, 7 candlesticks, 7 spirits, on and on the list goes. It could almost be titled The Book of Sevens. Think about that. God speaks to us through numbers. It is another language other than just regular letters. In fact, some call it the language of the Creator, the language of creation. Remember when God says, when Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Well, that's expressing himself alphabetically. But he also says he is the first and the last. That is expressing himself numerically. In other words, he is the beginning and the end. He is all numbers. He is all letters. He is everything. He is everything. Why do I bring that up? Why do we talk about that? Well, this number of the beast somehow characterizes the Antichrist numerically. All right. Well, let's move on. So we're going to continue factoring out this number 666. As you can see here, there are a lot of different factors. We've got 6 times 6 equals 36 constellations. That's part of the number 666. You got 111 times 6 equals 666. We had the Sari or the Saros that we talked about, those cycles that were involved in this. 6 is the number of man. That's something really simple. We found out that 666 is a solar number. It's often given to the pagan sun god. And on the list goes. But today, we are going to zero in on 306 plus 360 equals 666. And we're going to look at these factors. Now, I will say this. During some of our studies, some of these studies, as we're factoring out the number of the beast, we're going to pick up some really neat tidbits. But at times, you might be asking yourself, well, what's the significance of this? It almost seems as though we're just playing with numbers. But that's not what we're doing. We're doing as we were commanded to do. And we shouldn't feel guilty like we're spending too much time on this topic. Sure, we don't want to make a religion out of it, but it is a profound challenge that takes effort to factor out. And it is God's challenge to us. So at times, we might not have every study. We're not going to come necessarily to some grand conclusion on something. But I assure you, these are all pieces of a much bigger puzzle. It's sort of like trying to learn how to read the Bible before you know the alphabet. You can't read the words. Well, that's kind of what we're doing here. In order to understand the meaning of 666, we have to understand biblical math, biblical factors, divine numbers, as well as the method of computation. But I really feel at some point, God willing, some of these factors that we're going to look at are going to come together in such a profound way. And I ask that you pray for us, with us, that God will reveal these truths to us. And you know what? He will do so if we are obedient, if we do so with a heart of love, of desire to be closer to Him. And yes, to be closer to Him, sometimes that means intellectually. I mean, first and foremost is He wants our love. He wants our heart. But part of expressing that love is, and being able to have that relationship is being able to communicate with Him on a higher level. Being able to understand Him on a deeper level of understanding. And that's what we're trying to do here. So, again, as you can see, lots of different factors, and this isn't even all of them. There are more. But we're going to focus in on this today, and I think you'll find this interesting. So let's get at it. Again, we pray for wisdom and understanding from our Father, that He will bless us, that He will, and we will remind Him that this is His challenge to us. Together, we are trying to figure this out because of His instigation, His prompting. And we also want to remind Him that it is His promise that if we ask, seek, and knock, that He would give us, He would open the doors and give us the answers. And it's okay sometimes to remind Him of His promises. We don't want to walk in and demand that He give us what we want, but we want to do it. If we want to do it for the right intentions, it's okay. He doesn't mind hearing us claim those promises. In fact, in my life, I've seen at times when I've claimed those promises, from my standpoint at least, I felt with an honest heart that He blessed tremendously, even more than I had asked for. And it's amazing. It's beautiful. Anyways, let's move on. So 306 plus 360 equals 666. This is the equation we're looking at today. But did you know that there is one prominent place in the scripture where this equation is used? This equation, 306 plus 360 equals 666. And you'll find it in Genesis chapter 34, verse 1. Won't you, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please. Genesis 34, verse 1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Now, many of you remember this story. Two of the sons of Jacob actually tricked Shechem and his kinfolk, had him circumcised. And then they went through and they slew the whole bunch for taking advantage of their sister. Now, a lot of times when we read these historical accounts, we overlook, or we're just not ready yet for the deeper meaning of these events. What you have here, I believe, is that this man who seduced their sister, took advantage of her and defiled her, is a type of the Antichrist, or the man who seeks to defile our people. The man who seeks to defile all peoples of the world. His name even bears that mark. Shechem, the son of Hamor. Let's take a look in the Hebrew here. If you break this down, this is Shechem ben Hamor. That's what ben means son. And if we break this down, you see here, this is the gematria, the numeric values of each of these Hebrew letters. And if we group them together, if we separate Shechem from son of Hamor, much like if you separated, I'll take myself, my name is Ben Heath. Or you could say Ben, son of Heath. That would be my first name. So this is kind of what it is. It's separating the first from the last name. And when we do that, we get 306 plus, or if we went this way, we'd go 360 plus 306 equals 666. Now, remember, that was the equation that we just looked at. And it's fascinating. When you see it in the Bible, I'm telling you what, when you look at biblical gematria is so amazing. Because you see equations like this relating to astronomical movements of the sun, the moon, the earth, all kinds of things in the scriptures. So this man's name totals 666, the number of the beast. Was he the Antichrist? Is he? No, he's not. But in type, it seems as though God is pointing him out in a big way as the seducer, the violator, the deceiver. Because if, as you found out later, Shechem and his family, we're thinking, oh, this is great. We got Dinah now. Now we can, because the Israelites were rich, now we can, we can have their cattle. They can join with us and marry our wives, and we'll give them, give us their daughters for wives, and we will give them our daughters for their wives, and we can become one happy family, and we'll be rich by marrying them. But there's just one problem. That wasn't in God's plan. The Israelites were supposed to be a separate nation, a holy nation, a people devoted to Almighty God, not to be mixed with the Hivites, the pagans, as we see so often happening in America today, through multiculturalism, diversity, and so forth. That's how the Antichrist comes in and defiles our people with false doctrine and so forth. That, I believe, is the message of the 666 in this case, is that when you allow non-Christian peoples, I will say it this way. The warning is against yoking ourselves together with non-Christian peoples. Look at what's happened in America today. Once a nation where Christ was exalted, now a nation in many parts where Christ is mocked, ridiculed, blasphemed, and you name it. And soon, Christians will be persecuted throughout this land. I'll tell you what, there are I'll save that for another time. Let's move on. Another person, it's very interesting, another historical figure was Nero Caesar. His name equaled 666. We talked about this, I think, at the beginning of our series of studies, where some people believe that because Nero Caesar's name equaled 666, that he was the Antichrist, the ultimate Antichrist. He was the fulfillment. And as we saw with Shechem, he was only a type. Nero Caesar was not the beast of Revelation 13. And one way we know that, and I may have some listeners that would disagree with this, that look at things through a historical perspective rather than through all of the above, historical, present, as well as future. They look at this as though he fulfilled that prophecy. But you know what? To someone who studied the dating of the book of Revelation, it was written well after the death of Nero Caesar. I believe may have been 20 years or so. But anyways, let's break this down because it is very interesting. If you break down Nero's name, his first name and his last name, Caesar, you have this same equation, 306 for his first name, plus 360. Oh, I'll go back there. Obviously, with that goes without saying, equals 666. Very curious. That's very interesting. I mean, could this be a coincidence that this great pagan leader that once persecuted Christianity in its beginnings so viciously, so violently, have be stamped with this equation and this ultimate number? I don't think so. I think there's a message there for us. I'm going to turn. Many of you have heard me talk about this. This is where a great deal of the research I've been doing on this series, a great deal of the research I've been doing on this series of studies on 666 has come from this book called The Computation of 666. And we're going to read from page 247. Saros, or Usar, when we talked about that, I think a lecture or two ago, that this word Saros actually in Gematria equals 666. And it's part of a lunar and a solar eclipse cycle where 666 is a factor as well. So very interesting. He says Saros or Usar is, as we saw, a word of deep meaning, being the root of much of the etymology of paganism. Very, very interesting. Sar 666 being at the root of the etymology of paganism. It's in solar and lunar eclipse cycles. Why? Well, we'll continue reading. Higgins thus writes regarding it, and we're not talking about the Higgins. I believe there was a man named Higgins that was part of the Black, today part of the Black Liberation Theology Movement, who is a pagan. This isn't the same one, obviously. This was written back in 1891. Just wanted to clarify that because I know we just got done talking about or listening to some clips from him and reading some quotes. But anyways, he says, Higgins thus writes regarding it. I believe originally the word Caesar was Asar, or in the Hebrew style of the reading, Rasa, closely connected with the Rasis of India. Upon these, the word Caesar or Tsar was formed. In Irish, God is called Iasar or Osar, pronounced Esar. In Hindu stance, it is Eshwar, Isar, or Iswar. In Sanskrit, it is Isawara. Forgive me if I'm not saying these right. I can't be an expert in all these languages at once here, but I'll do my best. In Arabic, Usar which name the Egyptians often pronounced. Oashri, Oasri, or Usri. And in Chaldee, we find it Isra. So anyways, basically what we have here, a lot of different ways the pagans had, according to Higgins, of saying Saurus. One of which, he believes, was Caesar. So in other words, we would be saying Saurus, or we're talking about Nero Caesar. So he's thinking it'd be basically be the same as calling Nero, saying Nero Saurus. Nero Saurus. Interesting. Very interesting. And that's from page 247 of the Computation of 666. I think we have a little bit more about the Saurus and the etymology of it here. In the Hebrew, or Bostrophedon reading, we also see the origin of Raset, or wisdom, whence the Rosicrucians derive the first half of their name, and the Persian hero god, Rustan, Cirrus, the goddess of harvest, in whose honor the famous, boy, there are a lot of tongue twisters here. Here we go. Eleusinian mysteries were celebrated, and Saturn, whose name means the sown one. I thought that was interesting. We know there is an evil seed on this earth. Means the sown one, from Genesis 3:15. From scrocivi satan, satum, are alike words derived from sar. So what he's saying here, he's saying that he believes Saturn is derived from sar as well. Moving on. Sor, to soar, the god of Tyre. Well, that's interesting. Many of you are familiar with the scriptures referring to Tyre. In Ezekiel 28, I think 27 might refer to it as well, but it refers to a prince of Tyre and a king of Tyre, which I believe, well, one of the king of Tyre is none other than Satan himself. And the prince of Tyre, I believe, refers to his son, the Antichrist, the seed of the serpent. But I thought that was interesting that we have the same connection here with the 666 Saurus, lunar eclipse cycle. The god of Tyre, T, he says, equals 400, S equals 60. And I believe he's pulling from the Hebrew here, and he's just transliterating it. V equals 6, R equals 200, total 666. So remember I was saying that most pagan gods equaled 666. Well, here's another example of that. The god of Tyre equals 666. Is the same word, sar, with but a slight difference in pronunciation. Circ or circ. The enchantress and Sar Apis, whose name means the hidden seed. Wow. The hidden seed. You know, I get blasted so often by well-meaning Christians even. Not just the enemies of Christ, but by well-meaning Christians who defame me, call me unchristian, and other things because I teach about a literal serpent seed starting back in Genesis 3:15. Boy, if they would only study a little bit of history, if they'd only do a little bit of computing the number of the beast, they would find out that there is a literal seed of the serpent on this earth and has been the guiding force behind paganism at its inception. By no means You know, I guess we could move on and say, God, forgive them. Or I should say it this way, oh, by the grace of God, there go I. Because for whatever reason, God has not chosen to reveal these deeper truths to them. These truths that help you overcome the beast and the number of his name. All right, by no means, the hidden seed by no means closed the list of derivations of this remarkable word, which probably originally had reference to the redemption in Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. Possibly, but I believe the author here maybe is ignoring the fact of the seed of the serpent as well. There were two seed lines, a true Christ and a false Christ, that were prophesied to come. And Genesis 3:15, the foundation of the entire Word of God. Yet you hear hardly any, you hear hardly any Christian pastors teaching about it. Yet it was the first prophecy of the entire Bible that there would be two seed lines. You know, what is a seed line? Well, it's a physical lineage, physical descent of people. Just like Christ was to be the seed of the woman, right? There were genealogies in the Bible. He was to come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then through David, through Judah, and then through David, and then ultimately through Mary. That was a physical fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. So what is the opposite end of that spectrum? We're not talking about a spiritual seed here. This is a physical descent. Okay. It would be wearisome to name them all, even if that were possible. The Khazar Mound, the supposed site of the Tower of Babel, displays the same etymology as well as the Khazar Nimrod in the Erisenet Nome in Egypt. Okay, page 247 of the Computation of 666. So what he's saying here is that 666, the sorrow cycle, seems to be at the root of paganism, whereas there are many different pagan gods that were that stemmed from that word sar. I found it interesting. I'm going to go back a slide here. I found it interesting. He said Ra-Sa. That just seems as though that could have reference to, or this word have, I should say it this way. It seems as though maybe it is that Russia comes from Ra-Sa. Interesting. That just kind of popped out, seemed to be kind of a coincidence there. Maybe, maybe not. All right. Napoleon. Many of you have learned about him. To be honest with you, it's been a long time since I've studied history involving Napoleon. But most of us know that he was a dictator. And we're going to break down his name here. And this, I'm going to be pulling from 246 of the Computation of 666 here, where he points this out, the breakup of Napoleon's name. Now, if you break it apart into two syllables, if you would, two sections, separate the first seven Greek, now he's got this in Greek here, the first seven Greek letters from the last three of Napoleon, you get 306 plus 360. Of course, that equaling 666. Well, I thought that was very curious as well. That we'd see the same equation Sure, we had to split it up here, but it's still in numerical order. It's still in numerical order. It's not like we're taking from over here to here and so forth. Why is that? Do these people know? Did Napoleon Bonaparte, did he know that his name was broken up like this? Was there an elite within the secret mystery schools that purposely named these people with these numerics? It's something to think about, something to consider. All right, 306 plus 36 equals 666. Let's break this down a little bit more. What about 306 here? Again, we keep seeing that. Well, we're going to pull from page 245 of the computation of 666. And we're going to start reading. It says the number 306, like 360 and 666, is astronomical. And like them, is marked out by the moon. The number, okay? The moon is the number. It's like the minute hand on a clock. Without it, it would be very difficult to tell time. From two lunar inequalities depending on the sphericity of the Earth, Laplace determined the ellipticity of the meridian to be, now check this out, 1/306 very nearly. And he's taking this from the Encyclopedia Britannica of Astronomy. We're going to explain a little bit of what this ellipticity is. But for now, this is an astronomical number. That's what we're seeing there is 1/306 is an astronomical number that has to do with the movement of the moon. It is thus the number of the circle, 360, added to the number of the phenomenon known as the ellipticity of the meridian, 306, that gives the number of the total eclipses in the great eclipse cycle, 666. Very interesting. So basically, if you add 360 plus 306, it gives you 666, which is the total eclipses in the great eclipse cycle. That the Chaldeans employed the number 306 in their astrotheological system appears from the statement of Berosus, according to Abedinius, that the antediluvian monarch Ellurus reigned 306,000 years. Nimrod, volume 1, page 343. So there you go. That's how they get a lot of these numerics. You got this one guy supposedly reigned for 306,000 years. And I believe sometimes they have these things for codes. Some of these things were written down as codes. And there you have it there. Now, let's break this down a little bit. What is ellipticity? Well, here is a circle, perfectly round circle. Ellipticity would be if it's some kind of an orbit or a sphere that is not perfectly round. That's like an egg shape or something like that. And so that's basically what we had there. We had 360 degrees equals the circle. We had the 1/306 was the measurement of the moon's ellipticity. And if we dropped the fraction here, we'd just have 306. And if we added the two together, we'd have the circle, which is a regular orbit or a perfect sphere, plus the moon's ellipticity equals 666. What does that mean? Well, I don't necessarily know exactly, other than it's here. And this equation's in the Bible, and it refers to the Antichrist. And it has to do with the circle and an elliptic or ellipticity. Very interesting. You know what? I think we're getting closer and closer to having a much better understanding of the factors that equal 666. We know it has to do with something in the heavens, that is for sure. That is for sure. All right. Well, what have we found out about 306 then so far? Well, it's related to the movement of the moon. Shechem ben Hamor, Shechem the son of Hamor, 306 was involved, was a factor of his name. Nero Caesar, it was a factor in his name, and Napoleon, 306 was a factor in his name as well. But let's factor 306 a little bit here. And this just gets amazing when you start breaking some of these things down. 153 plus 153 equals 306. Well, 153 should stand out to most of you, if you've been studying the Bible for any length of time, as being the number of fish that the apostles caught, that the disciples caught in the net. Why would Jesus have them catch 153 fish? Well, that's another topic for another time. But as you can see here, God communicates with numerology. He created with numerology, with numbers. Numbers are the structure of creation. The structure of time and movement. All right. So, go back to the list. We can add 153 to that. The number of fish is a part of this equation somehow. We don't know exactly how, but we know what's in there. And I found this out when I was doing some Google researching. And I haven't been there to verify it for myself, but I saw many different sources saying this, so I'm going to decide to make a slide for it for you guys. 360, now this is the Great Pyramid of Egypt, obviously. It is said that 360 feet up the Great Pyramid is the 153rd layer of stones. Now, check that out again. That's all part of our equation. Remember, 360? 153 times 2 equals 306. Could that be an accident? Well, as we know, the Great Pyramid in Egypt, whether it was laid here by good forces or by bad, definitely was built by extraterrestrial, or I should say supernatural beings. Because no corporation today can duplicate this Great Pyramid. The tolerances at which these huge stones were cut out and laid together, it's just impossible. There isn't a company in the world that can do this. And yet this is thousands of years old. Many different theories about it, but as to when it was built and who built it, but definitely by a much higher advanced civilization than we have today. Anyways, let's move on. We're going to look at some interesting numerical phenomena of these three numbers, 306, 360, and 666. Let's do that. Now, if we go, I don't know if, well, some of you might may have never heard of this form of mathematics, but it's called breaking things down to, it's breaking numbers down to their digital roots. And this is how you do it. You separate the numbers, each individual number, no matter how many numbers long it is, doesn't matter. You break it down like this. So you go, you just add them all together. 3 plus 0 plus 6 equals 9. All right, so if we go over to 360 and we do it to that number, we have the same answer. 3 plus 6 plus 0. Of course, just because the 6 and the 0 are flopped around there. That equals 9. Same digital root. Now, if we go to 666, we go 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. But that's not the digital root, because the digital root has to be one number. So what do we do here? Well, we add the 1 plus the 8. And this is a process that you just keep doing until you get to a single digit. 1 plus 8 equals 9. They all equal 9. Very curious. Very interesting. All right. Let's take another look at some interesting relationships here. 306, if we cross out the 0, we just eliminate it, we get 36. Okay, well, 360, if we do the same thing, we cross out the 0, we get 36. All right, so 36. Then 666, many of you know from our prior studies, is the sum of the first 36 integers. In other words, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 all the way up to 36 equals 666. So we got 9, we got 3 and 6, we have 6 as well. All these numbers seem to have a profound relationship to each other. You know, when I used to look at numbers before, I used to look at, well, it's just man's way of, you know, breaking things down, categorizing things. Man's system of being able to identify things. But you know what? Numbers, and pagans understand this, and they make more out of it than it is, and they actually worship it. But numbers, true biblical mathematics, true numerology. In that, numbers do some very curious things. Very curious things. Here's another example of that. The base of a 36-block pyramid. By that, I mean there are 36 blocks down here at the bottom. If we build up from that, in a geometric way, you get 666, a 666 block pyramid. It would do the same thing if you were to use circles or spheres. So there we go. We get that relationship between 36 and 666. Again, as well as the 3 and the 6 being there for 306 as well as 360. But anyways, we're going to step back here. We're going to just kind of relook at this thing called the magic square of the sun, or I like to call it the numerical square of the sun, because we don't, as Christians, we don't get into magic. But numbers, these are numbers are set in a way that do some amazing things mathematically. All right, so a 6x6 square, there are 36 cells in here, so 6x6 equals 36, and it is the numbers, the sum of the numbers of 1 through 36, we talked about that, equals 666. All right, so 1 plus, you know, so on and so forth. We went through all that, equals 666. But But what makes 36 a significant number? Again, this is a little bit of a review, but there are 36 constellations in the heavens, of which it appears from our perspective that the sun is king over them. From our perspective on Earth, the sun is king that rules and moves throughout the houses of the 36 constellations. All right, so continuing on with 36. In numerology, zeros are often removed or added. Therefore, 36 can equal 360, or vice versa. If we take the zero out, you got 36. Again, we see that in the equation we're talking about today. It was in this numerical square of the sun as well. All right, so the 360 part of it. This one, we could go on and on. And this would take a whole nother study or weeks of studies if we really wanted to get into it. But many of you know that all of the prophetic times in Daniel concerning days, months, and years are all given from the perspective of a 360-day lunisolar year. By that I mean it calculates months to be 30 days. And we find this out as the foundation of this is given to us in Genesis chapter 7 through 8 when Noah was on the ark. The definite times are given in both days as well as lunar months. But anyways, so it's broken up that way as though like, and that's what we use for circles today, 360 degrees. I think I have it here at the next slide. 360 degrees in a circle. Why 360 degrees? Why not 350? Why not 100? Well, I believe because it needs to be this way to do proper calculation. Again, because we even see in the equation that we're looking at today, 360 plays a big part in heavenly movements. All right. So, those of you who did not do our series of studies on the, it was called the Magic Square of the Sun. Basically, these numbers 1 through 36 were set in such a way that all of these rows added up to 111, as well as all the columns this way, up and down, as well as diagonally. And if you added up the columns and the rows, or the rows and the columns, they both equaled 666 each way. And if you added the other 111, you'd get 777. If you added them both, you'd get a total of 888 for the square. All right. So what I'm going to do now is show you a video because I found this video and I want to show it to you in an attempt to factor out the number 360. And it's not a video made, and I don't think it's necessarily made by a Christian. It might be somebody involved in New Age stuff, but it's a video that breaks down this number in a way that I think is pretty interesting. And so we're going to go with that here. We're going to play that for you as soon as I get it pulled up here. And we might play like 8 minutes or so. So fasten up and enjoy. Remember, we're talking about digital roots here. That's what they're doing. They're breaking this circle down. It always comes back to 9. Yes. See, the sum of all these angles always break back to the digital root of 9. And all these different polygons. ...144, very interesting number for us Christians. At some of the stuff we looked at today, while you watch this video, you can understand that Christianity, the Bible itself, is very high tech. It's not just some old book that was passed on to us by a group of men that wanted to create some theology. It is the Word of God. Read these words here. Okay, this is kind of another topic for another time. I thought it was 7 or 8 minutes, but it was actually just a few minutes there for you. So we'll get back and wrap this up. All right. So again, what did we learn today? Was it just a bunch of meaningless numbers that we're being superstitious about or getting too analytical? Not at all, my friends. These are more pieces of the puzzle that will come together. More pieces, more factors of that great equation that God said would take a great deal of knowledge and wisdom to solve. In fact, I'm going to go to Daniel 12, verse 4, and we'll read this verse and we'll close up. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And with the advent of the internet and technologies and various technologies, I believe that this is happening today. I'm able to myself run to and fro to you as you're, you know, sitting in your home, out and about, using your smartphone or your laptop or whatever. And we can communicate. We're able to share knowledge. And I'm able to go on the internet, you know, type in Google, whether you like Google or not. It's a tool. I'm able to go there and gather information that was unavailable at such speeds as it is today. So anyways, hey, I hope you're enjoying this series of studies. I'm hoping you're enjoying doing a little biblical mathematics, because for whatever reason, God wanted us to do it. And that, I believe, it's going to, at some point, it's going to really solidify, it'll really guard us against the deception that's coming. Because I really believe that when God gave us that number 666 as part of that great formula, that great equation, I really believe that it kind of exposed Satan and probably made him upset, because he's been trying to hide the meanings behind what he's doing for thousands of years. Anyways, do like what Christ said when he was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So study it, digest it, meditate upon it every single day, so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.